Today on More to Life, Helping Hands. Are your efforts to be helpful only making things worse? Not sure what to do next? Let us help you find more helpful ways to help. 877-573-7825. Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Helping Hands. Are your efforts to be helpful only making things worse? Or at the very least, not making a whole lot of difference? Not sure what to do next? Let us help you find more helpful ways to help. 877-573-7825.
It can be so difficult, can't it? And it has been throughout time, but I think it's more confusing even these days. Where as Christians, especially as people of goodwill and good heart, of knowing that God has had such mercy on us, we often want to help people be happier, be healthier, have a holier life, get their lives in some kind of order that relieves their stress or anxiety. And then when we try to do that, instead of being fountains of God's grace, we end up looking like or feeling like just a pile of rocks being thrown at somebody. They don't appreciate it. They fight back. They get angry. They don't listen. We make matters worse. And we think to ourselves, how are we giving glory to God in this? How are we helping people? Should I just go hide under a rock somewhere and not help anyone at all? How's that a Christian way to live? It can be very confusing, trying, and difficult. And we're here to help you out with that today.
So give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Of course, if you're listening to later on to the More to Life podcast, you can also shoot your questions to us via email. That address is questions@moretoliferadio.com. But tell us, are you trying to help someone you care about only to feel like things either aren't working or are just getting worse? For instance, maybe your spouse is struggling with something but shutting you out. Or do you have a younger child who's facing challenges in school or in their social or emotional life? Do you have an adult child who's wrestling with problems? Or maybe your elderly parent is frustrating your efforts to help them, or your brother or sister or other close relative or friend is going through a hard time, and you're not sure what to do. If you're trying to help someone you care about, but things aren't working out the way you hoped, let us help you find more helpful ways to be helpful. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
And, you know, this doesn't have to be big things. It can be anything that's just knocking the wind out of your sails when you're trying to help somebody. I mean, I know as a mom, there are days where, you know, I'm trying to help my 3 or 4 year old learn to do a new task, and they burst into tears or they have a temper tantrum, and it just deflates you as a mother.
You're
it just
trying
makes
to help
you
your
feel
husband
like you
and he bursts into tears and has a temper tantrum. No, I'm just I mean, these things have been known to happen, right?
I'm not sure it has, but okay, you do you.
You know, but the reality is, you know, it's complicated to try to be helpful to people in ways that they'll actually receive, and very often, you know, we are reaching out with best intentions, but for some reason that other person feels like we're judging them or treating them like a project or saying they're incompetent. Or, you know, the list goes on. Helping others is something that we are blessed to be able to do, and is something that God calls us to do. But helping others in ways that actually feel helpful to them and can be received by them.
And don't come back and sort of attack us, you know, that it doesn't end up biting us in some way, because it can be really disheartening and frustrating, and you just don't know how to get through it, help other people, please God. It is just rough sometimes. So if you're struggling or trying to help someone who is, let us give you some grace-filled answers to that today. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Again, that's 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're not sure what exactly that is, when St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections on how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design of creation, especially his design of our bodies.
Now, on the one hand, the theology of the body reminds us that it's good for us to be generous, to be loving, to be self-donative, and work for the ultimate good of others. On the other hand, we need to love responsibly, making sure that our efforts to work for another person's good actually produce good fruit. You know, sometimes we tell ourselves we're being helpful even when the things that we're doing are making things worse, or people respond as if we're being intrusive. In those times, it's important to not just keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. It's also important to not just give up, pat ourselves on the back, and say, well, I tried, that's all I could do.
Right, so what's the alternative? Well, when our efforts to help don't seem especially helpful, we need to step back, pray, and be receptive to the ways that God might like us to be loving, instead of just doing what we've always done. You know, we need to remember that the point in being helpful isn't to make ourselves feel like we've done something. It's to actually make sure that the help we provide is producing some kind of positive change. And if it's not, we need to be open to what God might want us to do instead. You know, when we're struggling to know how to help another person, a good prayer is, Lord, teach me to respond to this person in a way that brings out the best in them. And then really reflect on what that would take. You know, what would it look like? Especially based on my past interactions with this person. You know, when I've had to deal with them in the past, what kinds of things can I do or say, or have I done or said, that have brought the best out in them? You know, how could I adapt those responses to this new situation? Those are the kinds of things that we need to be prayerfully reflecting on. But, you know, if you're thinking about all this and you say, yeah, that sounds great in theory, but I don't know what to do about this person or this situation, let's talk it out together. Again, the number is 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Helping Hands. If your efforts to be helpful are only making things worse or not having the effect you were hoping one way or the other, and you're not sure what to do next, we want to help you find more helpful ways to be helpful. 877-573-7825. If you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, shoot us your questions via email. That address again, is questions@moretolife.com.
Well, we can give the number as well. It's 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord, your servant St. John Paul reminded us that we find ourselves by making a gift of ourselves to others, that by helping others, especially the people that you've placed in our lives, like our spouse, our kids, family members, and friends, we glorify you and use our gifts in the manner that you intended them to be used, to build others up and to be a blessing to others. And yet so often our efforts to be helpful either don't work, blow up in our face, or make things infinitely worse. And so we ask you, Lord, to teach us how to love responsibly, to love in ways that actually generate a helpful, positive response, so that as we use our gifts, wisely, and with your grace, we can build your kingdom by helping each other become everything we were created to be in this life and get each other to heaven in the next through your grace. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Helping Hands. Are your efforts to be helpful not really working out the way you wished, or making things worse? Not sure what to do next? Let's help you find more helpful ways to help. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Sarah, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Rhode Island.
Hey, Sarah. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Thanks so much.
What's your question for us?
I'm helping. So my question is that I've got a college-age daughter who's in a relationship, a first-time boyfriend for her, and this person is, her boyfriend is very, very kind, sweet, loving person. He suffers from some depression and engages in some, like, self-harming behaviors. And, you know, to the point where I kind of recognize that I'm not kind of qualified to be able to help her. And she is seeing someone right now, who a priest who's also a clinical psychologist. So I feel like she's in good hands, which is great.
Wonderful.
I'm just trying to figure out how I can help her, because my instinct is to say, like, this doesn't seem like it's going to work out for the long term, so I think you should call it quits. But I also don't want to be micromanaging her life. I think, and I don't even know if that's the right thing. Like, maybe God has something else. He's a very special guy, for sure. And so maybe God has something else. I don't want to interfere with something more
powerful. So a couple of questions. Are they close? Like, do you get to see both your daughter and her boyfriend, or are they away at school somewhere and you don't see them very often?
They're away at school, but I have met and seen them together maybe a half dozen times.
Okay. And so what kinds of conversations have you had with your daughter so far?
Well, I have, like, the most recent one was one in which I posed, like, do you think that that this is going to work for the long term? What do you think about taking a break and sort of talking with him about, hey, why don't you get this, that, and the other, kind of like in order, you know, and then come back and let, like, kind of regroup. And, you know, I think she's very attached to him.
Yeah.
And she's also kind of very accommodating kind of person, so it would be hard for her to say that and also to say, like, I think you need to see someone. So, yeah.
And I understand that you perceive her as being very attached to him. I'm not saying this is what's happening. I just want to kind of clarify through you if you sense this at all. Do you get the sense that she's more attached to him than she should be because she's worried about him, because he seems like a little bit of a caretaking project for her? Or do you think at least that her feelings are in right order just with him being her boyfriend?
I think she tends to get attached very easily to people. And she does want to care for him. I think she feels like, one thing she said is that she can't imagine saying what I suggested because she thinks it would just break him up too much. But I also think she really loves him. Like, she doesn't want to do that because she adores him, like everything about him she really loves. So I don't know if I answered your question, but I think she's right ordered, but she is.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, so let me offer some thoughts here. Don't make the conversations with her about whether she should stay or go, because she's not in that place, and if you push on that, she's just going to double down and say, but he needs me, but I love him, you know. anything you say after that will just bounce off of her. What you're going to want to do is kind of focus on drawing out her concerns. You know, how are things going? And when she tells you certain situations, you know, how is he doing, right? How are things going between the two of you guys? And you're just being an ear to listen, right? And as she brings up different things, ask her questions about, so how much of this do you think, you know, you can help with versus how much of this is something that he needs to handle or needs to get help with? Talking to her about the difference between love and rescuing somebody. Now, again, not saying that she, not accusing her of being a rescuer here. Not saying, you're not at any point implying that you think that, even if you do. But really saying, you know, loving somebody means working for their good, right? How is he able to work for your good and deal with these problems? Or is he so consumed with these kinds of things that he needs more from you than he can give to you? Working for somebody means working for their good. Are you able to set appropriate boundaries, you know, so that you don't feel like you're getting too caught up in trying to fix him? Because that's not love, that's codependency. You know, so kind of having, helping her think through the healthy responses to the different challenges that she's facing in the relationship, because if she responds in a healthy way and he responds in a healthy way in return, then this relationship could work. Because, you know, we all bring our own personal struggles to relationships. That's not the issue. The issue is if the efforts that she's making to have a healthy relationship aren't working because he's not capable of, you know, giving what he needs to give in a healthy relationship to her, or because she's not expecting enough from him, you know. So not focusing so much on should she stay or should she go, but what is the healthiest way, the godliest way to handle the specific challenges that she brings to you or that you observe? And you're not telling her how to handle those things. You're asking her questions within that context of the understanding that love means working for the good of another person, you know, helping her figure out what would it mean to work for his good or have him work for her good in that particular situation. I realize that that's sort of some broad principles. So if you want to call back at some point with some specific examples or, you know, other situations we can walk you through, we're happy to do that. But I think that these ideas will at least frame the conversation in a way that she'd be more receptive to. We also talk a lot more about how to have these kinds of discussions in our book, How to Have Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult, Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. But it'll give you some additional tips on how to broach these topics in ways that won't get her defenses up or make her double down if the relationship is unhealthy, but actually be able to come alongside of her and disciple her into thinking through the healthiest and godliest responses to the various challenges in the relationship that would enable her to see whether he's capable of responding in a healthy way or whether the more she tries to make healthy responses, the relationship becomes strained. Sir, I hope that these sort of general comments will help frame the discussion moving forward. The book, How to Have Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Adult Sons and Daughters, will take you a little bit further. You can get that at CatholicCounselors.com. And if there's more that we can do for you, again, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or through CatholicCounselors.com. Listeners, we're taking your calls today on our show titled Helping Hands as we discuss those times when our efforts to be helpful only make things worse. You know, are you trying to help someone you care about only to feel like it's not bearing the fruit you wish it was? You know, maybe your spouse is struggling with something, but they're shutting you out. Or maybe you have a younger child who's facing challenges in school or their social or emotional life. Maybe you have an adult child who's wrestling with problems. Or you have an elderly parent who's frustrating your efforts to help them. Or your brother or sister or other close relative or friend is going through a hard time and you're not sure what to do. If you're trying to help someone you care about, but things aren't working out the way you wished, let us help you find more helpful ways to be helpful. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute. He'll be sharing some insights from the Theology of the Body on what it really means to be helpful. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues.
Another great podcast on EWTN Podcast Central is The Word on the Word with Veronica and Melissa. It gives you a deeper look at this Sunday's Mass readings. You can go further into God's Word every week. You can hear The Word on the Word and other faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates around the world, all in one place, all free, at EWTN Podcast Central. Visit EWTN.com/radio and click on Podcast Central today.
underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Helping Hands, as we talk about the challenges involved in trying to be helpful. And if your efforts to be helpful to someone you care about aren't panning out the way you'd hoped, give us a call, 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Bill Donahue with the Theology of the Body Institute. Hey, Bill, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning. Good to be on your show.
Well, it's great to have you. And you were sharing over the break that you had a piece of poetry, actually, from St. John Paul that speaks to this question. Why don't you hit us with it?
Yeah. I have always been moved by his theology, but discovering his poetry has been a real gift. So this came out in 1994, kind of towards the end of his life, but it's a little snippet from a poem called Song of the Hidden God, Shores of Silence. And he says this: "You are the calm, the great silence. Free me then from the voice. In the tremor of your being, let me shiver with the wind borne on the ripe ears of corn." All right, now, in a minute here, I want to unpack this, but there's a lot going on. I see JP2 standing in a field, you know, and we can objectively know, like, we have to do things, and here's a problem, and I can fix that, or I can work on it. But subjectively, there are persons, right? We're in a field of human relationships. And I feel like John Paul II is saying, you know, Lord, you're the calm, C-A-L-M, right? You're the great silence. Free me from the voice. The voice is kind of that, you know, I can fix this. I should say something. I should do this. But he says, in the tremor of your being, God, let me shiver with the wind borne on the ripe ears of corn. It's sort of this idea of the farmer, like, trusting in God to do the watering, to step back a little bit and let this person, this relationship, this problem breathe a bit. I just find great wisdom in that stepping back to see what God.
Well, you know, it's something that we talk about on the show from time to time, the idea of patience not being the virtue of, you know, not doing anything and hoping that God will kind of fix it all in time, but rather the virtue of kind of active waiting, where I step back and I see the effects that my efforts to this point have had and what I might need to do next, right? So it's not just, I'm not just keeping banging on the pipe hoping that something's going to get fixed. It's that, you know, okay, I've banged on the pipe. Now I'm going to step back and see, do I need to turn something else? Do I need to, but I'm creating space for myself to reflect on what's been done and ask the Holy Spirit what might need to happen next while I kind of attentively wait in that spirit of patience. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think attentiveness is the word that comes to mind. And I'm thinking of the scripture where, you know, like sentinels awaiting the dawn, this idea that we're not the Messiah, don't fall into that, but we're sentinels, stewards, guardians, and just, do what you can and then step back. Be attentive and pay attention and listen. And I feel inspired by that little bit of poetry there to try to be a little bit of a listener more than a talker in some difficult situations.
Well, I love this because it's not just be a listener to the other person we're trying to help, which is vital, very important. Mm. But it's that stopping and being a listener to the quiet voice of God that will calm us enough to give us the grace and the strength and the direction that we need when we're trying to help in someone's life, rather than kind of seeing a problem going on in someone's life, going into fight or flight and just, you know, sort of energetically and intensely going into the situation without really knowing what God wants us to do, right?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, and which brings to mind the virtue of humility, and the root word there is also sort of field, ground, right? Just kind of standing there in all humility that I know there's another presence here that can solve and see this from all angles. I'm not that presence, but I'm attentive to his presence. I think that'll make all the difference.
Amen. Bill, thanks so much for sharing those insights and that beautiful poem from St. John Paul. And of course, you work for the Theology of the Body Institute, and you have several great courses and opportunities coming up, including a pilgrimage to England on Chesterton, C.S. Lewis, and J.R.R. Tolkien, right?
That's right. It's coming up towards the end of this July, and tobpilgrimages.com is where people can learn about this amazing trip. I'm really looking forward to leading that pilgrimage.
All right, awesome. Well, we encourage people to go to tobpilgrimages.com as well as tobinstitute.org. Check them both out for all the upcoming courses and opportunities to grow closer to the Lord through St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And with that, we are taking your calls, listeners, on our show today titled Helping Hands. Are your efforts to be helpful not working out the way you wished? Doesn't matter whether you're helping your spouse or your kids or a family member or a friend, let us help you find ways to be helpful that are actually helpful. 877-573-7825.
How serious is our responsibility to participate in furthering the common good? Very serious. According to the Catholic Catechism, participation is the voluntary and generous engagement of a person in social interchange. This obligation is inherent in the dignity of the human person. Participation calls, first of all, for us to be conscientious in exercising our responsibility in areas where we are directly involved: our families, our children's education, and our work. As far as possible, the Catechism urges, we should take an active role in public life. This leads to the Catechism's conclusion that nations which allow the broadest possible citizen participation are the nations to be lauded. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We listen to all kinds of things, as the Pope says, the radio, the TV, we listen to our phones, all kinds of other messages. But are we silencing ourselves enough that we may listen for God? The other thing we need to do is continue to educate ourselves on the faith. Are we listening to Catholic programming on a regular basis? Are we attending really good, healthy, faith-filled conferences to learn more from those who may be scripture scholars or apologists, or maybe just a good talk from a spiritual leader, or maybe watching a good video of a wonderful priest such as a Father John Ricardo or a Bishop Barron or someone else? So continue to, as Father John Harden used to say, educate, educate, educate yourself in the Catholic faith.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Throughout Scripture, again and again, we hear that we're to not be afraid, that we must trust in the Lord and be confident in God's providence, deliverance, mercy, and constant care. As theologian Hans Urs von Balthasar once observed, quote, "When one surveys, even from a distance, how often and how openly sacred Scripture speaks of fear and anxiety, an initial conclusion presents itself. The Word of God is not afraid of fear or anxiety." End quote. What a powerful observation. When we feel anxious, God wants us to wrap ourselves in His grace. But sometimes that's easier said than done. A good place to start is to take a moment to remind yourself of all the other times when you were sure you were doomed, but God came through. Allow yourself to relive the relief you felt in those past moments. Then praise God for his past faithfulness and ask for the grace to remember that he is still as faithful now as he was then. To learn more tips for overcoming anxiety, check out my book, Unworried, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, the show is titled Helping Hands. You know, are you feeling frustrated because you're trying to help someone you care about and they're either resisting you or they're getting upset with you or they're not listening to you, and you try and you try and you try and things either don't change or just get worse? 877-573-7825. Whether you're trying to help your spouse who's struggling with something but shutting you out, or you have a younger child who's facing challenges in school or their social or emotional life, or maybe you have an adult child who's wrestling with a problem. Maybe your elderly parent is frustrating your efforts to help them, or your brother, sister, or other close relative or friend is going through a tough time and you're not sure what to do. If you're trying to help someone you care about, or feeling frustrated because you don't know what to do, let us help you find more helpful ways to be helpful. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. If you're listening to the More to Life podcast later on, you can always get your questions to us via email, and that address is questions@moretoliferadio.com. Before we take our next question, I do want to let you know about an exciting, historic event. The National Eucharistic Congress is coming up this July 17th through the 21st, and we hope to see you in Indianapolis for that event. Lisa and I are going to be running a lot of the Family Track programming. In particular, we're hosting the Catholic Home, that's H-O-M, Experience. Home stands for Households on Mission, and what we're going to do is present a whole family experience. It covers several rooms. It's going to show your whole family how encountering Christ in the Eucharist changes everything about how we live together and love each other as Christian families.
It's an extremely fun experience for the whole family, your kids, your teens, your tweens, your parents, the grandparents, all together. Whoever is part of your family is welcome. We'll have a wonderful time. We'll have time with the presence of the Eucharist together, even with your small children, and be able to play and have fun together in a way that allows you to connect with God, his presence in the Eucharist, and bring that grace home with you on a daily basis.
So if you'd like to discover how encountering Christ in the Eucharist can help you have a more loving, connected, caring Catholic family life, we hope to see you at the National Eucharistic Congress this July 17th through the 21st in Indianapolis. Go to eucharisticcongress.org. That's eucharisticcongress.org. Sign up and make sure you choose the family programming, the Catholic Home Experience. That's Catholic H-O-M, stands for Households on Mission, and we hope to see you there.
And wonderfully, there are brand new hotel rooms opening up, so if you tried earlier when this first was announced and you're like, I can't get in, you probably can now. So go ahead and give it a shot so that we can see you there and we can all experience growth in our faith and that connection to the Eucharist.
All right, but we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825 about our show titled Helping Hands. Are your efforts to be helpful to someone you care about not working out the way you hoped? You know, whether you're trying to help your spouse and they're just shutting you out, or you've got a younger child who's struggling with something, or an adult child who's wrestling with a problem and they're just kind of resistant to your help, or you have an elderly parent who's frustrating your efforts to help them, or some other friend or relative who's going through a hard time and you're not sure what to do, let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825.
Let's take a message that came in on questions@moretoliferadio.com from Kay. She writes, Hi, Dr. Greg and Lisa. My husband has anxiety, and it really shows when we have to do anything with family, aunts, uncles, cousins, etc. He will try to come up with excuses so that we don't have to go to these events, and then when we do go, he will make sure to have at least one drink before the event. I grew up in a family where aunts and uncles and grandparents came and supported me at my sporting events and spent most holidays together, and still get together on days that are not holidays. He has said that he used to have family birthday parties and spend holidays with family, but it doesn't seem like they spent time together outside of that. When we celebrate holidays now, it is usually just his parents and his twin brother, and his brother's wife and our nephew. We have been together for 11 years now, and the anxiety has been prevalent our entire relationship. I notice this pattern in his mom as well. She will say she's coming to an event, typically non-family related event, and these events are usually small gatherings too. Typically the day or hour before the event, she will tell me she's too tired to make it that night. Could his anxiety be created from seeing his mom withdraw at times? I never know how to speak to him when the anxiety hits as he starts to withdraw from talking, and the mood changes. I have mentioned going to a counselor multiple times because the other issues that I've been seeing seem to be stemming from the anxiety, such as video gaming, porn use, social media use, bad mood when drinking too much. He does not believe talking to a counselor will help at all, as they are just, quote, another human with an opinion. I myself have spoken to a counselor about these issues that we're having, and he told me tactics to try and get him to come, since he said that we're at a standstill until my husband agrees to come to counseling. I'm worried, though, that if I do try these things that the counselor recommended, that my husband will resent me. We have two little kids, 3 and 1, and another one on the way. I really don't know how to help my husband with this anxiety or help our marriage. Thank you for any guidance you can give. And that's from Kay.
All right, Kay, thank you so much for the question. And I'm sorry that you're dealing with this. But your counselor's right. You know, you do need to be more direct in approaching your husband about this, and not in a way where you're trying to convince him to do it, but in a way where you're saying that you need him to do it. And really not just waiting for the anxiety to come up, but really letting him know that his social anxiety is robbing you of the partner you deserve. You know, you need to go to him and you need to say, honey, I love you with all of my heart. I'm committed to this marriage, but you love your anxiety more than you love me, and that's breaking my heart. You're not willing to get the help that you need to be the partner that I need you to be, or to be the healthy man that I need you to be and that God wants you to be.
And that our children are going to need you to be. I know you have very small children right now, but, you know, Kay, as you were saying, maybe he got some of these patterns from his own mother. When you hold these precious children and you hold your own belly as you hold this child in yourself, is this the future you want for them? To be anxiety-ridden, to be turning to any form of self-comfort, no matter how destructive or sinful it is, that's the example that your husband is living for your children to then have to grow up in and possibly get those patterns instilled in them. So if you're afraid on your own, if you don't feel that courage, have the courage for their sakes as well.
I want to also challenge you on something. This is going to be hard to hear, but I need you to really prayerfully listen. You know, to love somebody is to work for their good. You're not working for your husband's good by accommodating this anxiety. You're enabling him, which is the opposite of love, right? I know you don't mean to be, but you're really doing the opposite of loving him by not doing what your counselor is suggesting and using those tactics that will challenge him to get the help that he needs. When we don't do the loving thing because we're afraid the other person will resent us or they'll get angry with us or become upset with us, we fail in the obligation the responsibility that God has given to us to be prophets, to use our prophetic mission of baptism to call another person through our words and actions to be that healthy, holy person that God created them to be. And so your resistance to do that is actually a temptation from the enemy, who doesn't want you to have a happy, healthy marriage and doesn't want you to have a happy, healthy husband. Sure, nobody likes to be told that they need to get help. And sure, he might be resentful, he might be angry, he might pout, things might escalate before they get better. But you, being that strong woman of God who can stand in that situation, God has placed you in that situation to stand up for what is healthy and what is holy. and you need to do what your counselor is asking you to do, to be loving. Anything else, what you're doing right now is fear and enabling. And neither of those things comes from God. So I realize that these are hard things to hear, but I need you to know that spiritually speaking, the right thing to do is to follow the advice of your counselor and challenge your husband directly. Don't ask him if he wants to get help. Don't suggest that he needs to get help. If your husband was dying of cancer and didn't want to go to the oncologist, you'd get him there, right? The same thing is true here. This is a disease. This anxiety, the social anxiety that he's facing, is a disease, and it will take more and more and more of his life through the self-destructive things he's doing to comfort himself, through the withdrawing from social situations. It is a destructive force that is festering in your family, and you can't just let this go.
Well, and if I may, some of the patterns that he's using for self-comforting, for example, you mentioned porn use, it's not just taking his physical life, but now it's hurting his soul. And I know from what you've written here that you do not want to lose your husband and know this stuff is on his soul. He needs to be led back into the light, the grace and the mercy of God, so that God can help him heal all of this. And I think God's asking you to be the one to help lead him out of this darkness and into more life.
Kay, thank you so much for the question. If there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us. My book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, can be helpful in this situation. I think it would help you understand a little bit more about what your husband's experiencing. If he's willing to read it, I think it would be helpful to him as well. But really, you're at the point where you're doing a good thing by getting that counseling. Do what the counselor's telling you to do. Because he's trying to teach you how to actually love your husband instead of just enable him. 877-573-7825. We are talking with you today about helping hands. How can we be helpful to others in ways that are actually helpful? That don't just blow up in our face or make them angry or make things worse. Let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25.
Whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered.
It's an encouraging reminder of our call to be a blessing to others, but also a reminder of making sure that the way we are trying to bless others actually is a blessing. You can water a plant in a way that kills the plant, right? And so how can we make sure that we are prayerfully approaching our efforts to help others so that we do and say what God is asking us to do and can, as Proverbs say, bring that blessing so that we can be enriched and water so that we can be watered. 877-573-7825. Speaking of being a blessing to others, I want to let you know about a great new resource from EWTN. It's a book called A Light to All Nations by Father Brian Milady. It's going to elevate your understanding of the church by helping you unpack what one of the central documents of the Second Vatican Council, Lumen Gentium, really taught, and understand it through the lens of traditional church teachings, history, and philosophy. Father Milady explains the supernatural character of the church and our universal call to holiness, and you're going to discover the authentic character and purpose of the people of God and the unique vocations to which we're all called. Check it out. A Light to All Nations book and DVD. It's available now. Go to EWTNRC.com. With that, we'll be back with your calls in just a minute on finding ways to be helpful that are actually helpful. Stick around.
May is the month of Mary. How are you planning to honor the Blessed Mother? Whether it's planting a Mary garden in your yard, placing flowers by her image in your home, or adorning a statue of her with a handmade crown, there are many ways to express devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. EWTN invites you to celebrate along with us as we honor our Blessed Mother throughout her month with masses, devotions, TV, and radio specials.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, Check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton. Some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Helping Hands, as we talk about ways that we can be helpful to others that are actually experienced as helpful. You know, sometimes we try to help our spouse or our kids or a family member, and we end up getting our efforts thrown back in our face or ignored, or we make things worse somehow despite our best intentions. Let us help you find grace-filled ways to respond to those challenges, so that your efforts to be helpful to others can actually bear the fruit that you're hoping they would. Let's talk it out at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Ruth, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, Ruth. Welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us?
Yes, I have a daughter. She's married with two children, early 40s. She's struggling with insomnia, just had a recent medication change for that. She's also a therapist. I met with her on Mother's Day, and, you know, we had a good time and all. I asked how I could support her best. She said prayer. Also, others need to reach out to her because sometimes you can't reach out, she said. I mean, she can't. So I have called her last week, this week, left messages. She doesn't call me back. She doesn't answer the phone, doesn't call me back. So at this point, I don't know what else to do with this situation. I don't know if
and how close do you live to her?
I'm sorry?
How close do you live to her? Is that something you can drive over?
We're close.
And have you tried just knocking on the door with a casserole and just trying to connect with her that way yet?
I thought of that, but I haven't done that, no.
Dude, are you concerned that she wouldn't receive that?
And she says, and I understand because I am one, that people drain you rather than energize you. So she, you know, she's on. And her husband is very protective of who was let in to her life at this point. So,
Talk to us about that.
You're protective about who's that can be abusive. I'm not, you know, isolating your spouse.
That sounds a little controlling.
Well,
what's going on there?
Because people drain her. They don't energize her, and I feel like that myself at times. You know, she's mm-hmm. just under a lot of stress and strain. Too high maintenance. Children with lots of needs. They're adopted. You know, she's never said that.
Is there a reason that do you feel like there's a reason she's keeping you at arm's length, or it's just that she doesn't do a good job returning calls?
I even asked her point blank. She said it has nothing to do with me. That's what she said.
Well, then I would take her at her word, and I would just, you know, stop by sometime. And you know, let her, and I would stop by, like Lisa said, with some cookies or a casserole, whatever, without the expectation that she necessarily needs to let you in or entertain her, or entertain you, rather, but just to kind of stop by and say, hey, you know, I left a couple of messages, and I haven't heard from you, and I was concerned.
You asked me to reach out, because sometimes it's hard for you to remind her of that, because so, if she's having a difficult day, she may have forgotten that.
I just wanted to bring this by to cheer your day or to make your life a little bit easier. It's totally okay if I, you know, this isn't a good time for a visit. I would love to talk with you, but I just brought this by. So, you know, you're letting her know that you're still in, you know, invested in the relationship, that you want to have that contact with her. You're not putting any pressure on her. You're doing, you know, even when you stop by, you're dropping something off that would make her life easier or more pleasant. Right. So, but you're not taking no for an answer either.
I would send her a card maybe once every other week in snail mail. Everybody likes to get something nice occasionally. Just telling her you love her, you're there for her, you're praying for her because she asked you to pray for her. You know, occasionally, maybe once a month, send her some flowers if it's affordable for you, and let them just show up at the door because she doesn't need to interact with that.
Texting is also a great thing, you know, to be able to just kind of message every day, hey, I was thinking about you, and just sending up prayers for this and such. How's your day? I mean, it's, you know, and even if you don't get a response, you're just checking in every day, you know, giving her a little bit of news, asking how she is. When she responds, even briefly, you know, thanking her for letting you know what's going on, and, you know, even text out a little prayer for her. Lord, please bless my daughter and help her with this situation with the kids, or help her with the situation at work, and help me to know how to be the mom that she needs me to be. You know, and it's just you're texting back that prayer, and so you're staying in touch in a very simple, non-overwhelming way that's supportive. It's not making it about, you know, hey, daughter, I need you to be here for me. It's really just, you know, I want to be in your life, and I want to be a support to you, and I want to stay connected in whatever ways we can. So, you know, you're keeping that, and like I said, texting is just a very low-risk way of engaging with somebody. So no matter how overwhelmed, stressed, or introverted they might be, that's a really lovely way to just stay in touch every day. In addition to the other suggestions that we've made. So, you know, you've checked with her. She's not, you know, pushing you away. She's not trying to say, I have a problem with you. Stay out of my life, Mom. So you're not violating any boundaries by reaching out to her. So I would just say step it up a little bit more, you know, and see what happens there. If you find that she's responding to it all, great. If not, call us back and we'll brainstorm some of their alternatives. But it sounds to me like she's just in a place where she is overwhelmed and that she really does need support but doesn't know how to ask for it, and doesn't want to be put in the position where she has to take care of anybody else, but yeah. She would be open to, you know, little ways that you could show her that you want to take care of her.
Now, I mean, it really sounds like between her job and her family life, you know, she is being really, really drained. So it's okay also to occasionally say, hey, you know, I've got several nights, you know, give her various nights this coming month or next month. I'd love to just take you out for dinner, or I'd love to just go for a walk, get you out of the house for a little while so you can decompress. Anything that's caretaking and supportive of her and doesn't require a ton. But I would also just keep your antenna up. Hopefully her husband is just really being supportive. But when any spouse or any family member or boyfriend or girlfriend starts to block access to supportive people in somebody's life, it just kind of makes the hair on the back of our neck stand up a little
even
bit.
If his,
hopefully
even,
he's great.
If his intentions aren't good, then that's an abusive behavior. If right. Even if his intentions are good, at best it's enabling, like we were talking about with our previous caller, Kay. You know, it's not helpful to somebody who's introverted to kind of keep people out of their lives. You know, it's fine for that introverted person to set boundaries and say, you know, I need to be able to take care of myself and make sure that I'm not draining myself in relationships. Fine. But she's a therapist. She needs to know how to do that for herself and not really lean on her husband to
have her husband gatekeeping her relationships with her mom.
That doesn't feel healthy at all.
Yeah.
So I encourage you to just do the kinds of things that we're saying. Again, don't make it about you and you needing her and why isn't she reaching out to you. I mean, you're not doing that, but just putting it out there for other listeners. You know, make it about how you want to be there for her, and you're just checking in. And
again, it's really a fine idea to remind her and say, you know, you really said that you need other people to reach out because it's so hard for you right now to reach out. And you asked me to pray for you, and I just want to be all that support that you've asked for, and I love you so much. Because everybody needs their mom, no matter how old or professional they may be.
Yeah. Ruth, thanks so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here. That's all the time we've got for today's show. If you are struggling to help someone you care about and you're not sure how to be helpful in ways that actually work, well, let's talk it out together. You can reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com and speak with one of our faithful, professional Catholic counselors who can help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. You can also check out all the resources we mentioned on today's program right there at CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. Remember to celebrate the life God wants you to live, because you know what? With God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day, folks. Talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.